Welcome to the She Can Achieve podcast, your destination for women's empowerment. I'm Regina Sloan, your host and life coach. Join us as we dive into inspiring stories and practical advice to help you thrive in every area of your life. I want you to listen with this question in mind, though. How can this be applied to my journey? Every episode is packed with gems if you're looking for them. Thanks for being here. Let's go. Miss Stephanie Oden. I'm going to let her introduce herself, but today we're going to be primarily talking about, as we do in our Healing Hour conversations, like her journey, the things that people aren't really comfortable talking about. This space is where we make it comfortable talking about how she's serving people, how she's serving folks in the world, what that looks like for her. And we're going to really hit on parenting adults, because when we connected, that came up, and I just felt like immediately when we started talking about it, I was like, "Ooh, this needs to be talked about." And I think you had offered it in some kind of way, and I'm like, "Let's do it on a podcast." Mm-hmm. So thank you for being open to that. Thank you for jumping on. And without further ado, I'll let you let us know who you are, and we'll get started.
So first of all, Regina, thank you. It's an honor to be the first one of the year. That's like, wow, wow, wow. That's exciting. And like she said, I'm Stephanie Oden. And I do many things, but to wrap it all up is I'm a mom. We'll come back to the other things, but I am a mom, so I am a woman, and I get that. What I do professionally is I'm a success coach. I specialize in helping introverts that are inspired and also entrepreneurs, so that's where I specialize. And I create programs to serve them. Not that I don't love my fellow extroverts, but what I found being in that space, being a powerhouse introvert, coming up through the corporate realms, they always wanted you to be bang on the table and jazz hands and beat them down, and nobody needs any of that lovey-dovey stuff. And that was not how it was. And so my power. I became very passionate about helping others, introvert entrepreneurs and intrapreneurs, right? Those within a company that really get it. I decided to just go for it. Like, being an introvert is not something to shrink down from. Actually, I'm kind of the opposite. Once I discovered it, I'm kind of like badass introvert, like OG introvert. And, you know, one of those things you just shared, we have that ability to be around others and sometimes like bring them into their space, remind them of who they are so that they can go out and serve powerfully. So that's the summary. We can talk more about that later. And I will finish this part with how I started. I am a mom, right? I am that one who has two children. They didn't come out as adults. So, we can talk about whatever you want to talk about along that journey, Regina.
Yes, thank you for the intro. There are so many things on my mind. I am going to keep this as organized as possible, but we'll likely hop around. So
that's okay. I can hop. We already discovered that, right? So just put it all out there. I am not perfect. And my brain is a fast brain. And so because it's a fast brain, I hop. But I always come back. So I will lay that out there.
Yes, let's do this. And while y'all are hearting and liking and sharing, thank you so much. Share with your folks. Share with women. I think the two topics about introvertness and parenting adults, I haven't seen it talked about really heavy. And you were the first person that I actually met that specifically supported introverts. Like, as soon as I saw that, the Introverts Club, I'm like, oh yes, like I got to connect with her, because it just stood out to me in such a beautiful way. You're right. When we think of like who's the powerhouses, when we think of who's out here doing it and who's going to make moves and who's going to be more successful, we think of the person that can get out there and talk in the big crowds with no problem. We think of the person that, you know, has thousands of following and they just like act like they're not bothered. But from our conversation, I would love to get into that first.
Okay.
We talked about how really, as you were explaining it to me, I'm like, you know what? The more I think about it, the more introverts kind of have an upper hand, because they're more grounded. They're more, it seems anyway, they're more in tune with themselves. Whereas, which I kind of still like, am I introvert? Am I extrovert? But I love people. Okay, let's start here. Explain to us the difference between introvert and extrovert, and then we're gonna go from there. I think that is highlighted.
One of the big things about being an introvert is we tend to retreat to draw our energy from being in solitude. Typically, that's probably the big distinguisher. So I can go out and I can people, I call it peopling, right? I can people all day. I can be on a stage and I've spoken to audiences. But when that's done, and the people that know me, when that's done, I'm hibernating for 2 days. Like, don't reach out to me. Don't talk to me unless you bring me like treats or chocolate, something purple, maybe nachos and pizza. Then maybe I'll talk to you, but that's probably the biggest difference. And there's also different levels of being an introvert. For example, I'm more on a scale of being what they call an ambivert, and that's someone who can connect between introverts and extroverts very well. Like, I can be in a crowd and I can connect people, but again, I'm gonna go back and retreat. And then there are others who primarily they are more quiet and reserved. That doesn't mean they're timid. That just means they're quiet and reserved. And that's one of the things a lot of people think, oh, well, you're an introvert, you're shy, they'll put those labels on that. You're reserved, you're docile. Quite the opposite. Yes. When you get me or get us passionate about something, we won't stop talking. Get some introverts together. Especially those of you who are listening that are introverts, weigh in. You get introverts together and you will think, who are these people that say that they're introverted? Like, they won't stop talking.
Oh my God. I'm thinking of my husband, because I actually labeled him as that. Like, he's definitely an extrovert, 100%. When he goes and does his thing, like, he's got his own area. He likes to be there and be by himself. Like, that's been his thing. And me, I want the people. In the beginning of our marriage and being together, I'm like, you don't care about me. How do you not want to be with me? Like, what do you mean? Like, how do you want space to yourself? That's weird. But since he has grown in the last 10 years, especially, and getting out there and networking, and we go to networking events all the time together, I sit across the room and I'm like, how? He's not an introvert. What's happening? But it's because I'm thinking that introverts are always shy. They never connect. They're in the corner somewhere where you're like, no, it has nothing to do with that. No. So what's coming up for me is that it's not about how you feel when you're talking to the crowds and all that stuff. It's more so what's happening when you're done people that defines you.
Right. When I'm done being with people, then I will retreat. And I've learned that I just need to take some time to myself and do the things that I need to do and be introspective and reflective. And that's a natural tendency. And I think that's one of the things that introverts don't have to work as hard at, is when it comes to self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Most of us, and I don't like giving like all of the people.
Sure.
Right? Okay.
Sure.
But most of us have already been self-aware on a level that sometimes extroverts aren't, because they've not stopped talking long enough to hear themselves think.
Yes. That makes me think about so much when we talked about people making change in the world and how they don't have to be these big, high energies and all of that. And again, the closest introvert I know is my husband, and I think my six-year-old is too. They're very solid in who they are. Like, they're the ones that's like, oh my gosh, did you just say that? Like, they're like solid when they speak. It's like, I can't believe you said that. You know what I mean? Like, they have no problem, it seems. And maybe it is because they're more self-aware. So when you're thinking about, when you're working with your introverts, what do you find then when you talk about their success and helping them on that road? What do you find is most challenging for introverts in that space?
The biggest thing is giving them permission to be who they are, and to help them understand that their voice matters. Mm. So where they've been silenced in a noisy room, getting them plugged in into your voice matters. That's the biggest that's the biggest thing that I see is it, because once they realize that they're that they that their voice is worthy of being heard, then it's like a whole nother zone and level. Like what they do matters, what they offer matters, and reminding them, well, in the club, I don't go on there and say, oh, we're introverts and we don't have a pity party. It's like, we are, so okay, let's go. I mean, that's how the club is.
Yeah.
That's what we are, let's go. And that's the part that seems to matter the most. It's helping them find that voice and then plugging them up with tools that make sense for how we operate and how we leverage our energy. That's been the other gift that I'm able to serve my community with.
Yeah, and why do you think that introverts struggle? Do you think it's societal? Do you think it is innately some part of who they are? Struggle with, from the beginning, honoring that voice and knowing their voice really does matter as compared to extroverts?
I can only share from my experience. I know as I was rising up the corporate ladder, you were not rewarded for thinking, for reflecting, and then coming back with a response. You rewarded for blurting out an answer, even if it was dumb and didn't make any sense, right? That's the conditioning that would happen. You know, okay, everybody raise your hand, right? I mean, we're conditioned even from a very early age to just be out there, be bold, just be out there. And that has to be, that has to be broken. And as an entrepreneur, a lot of the mentoring that I received early on in my entrepreneurial journey was, get out of your comfort zone. You need to get out of your comfort zone. Well, hello, my comfort zone, and this is controversial because I know many of you've had it. I know I've even taught it before I knew better. My comfort zone is my power zone.
Ooh.
Now, I can't stay more. There, right? I cannot stay in that space. I want to be, as a successful entrepreneur, I need to meet people. I can't sit back and say, well, you know, Stephanie said I don't have to get out of my comfort zone because I'm an introvert. No, you need to find the things that matter that push you right to the edge of that zone, like that, think that rubber band. So that rubber band, it has a size, but it has not reached its potential until you gently stretch it out. And once you stretched it out, it doesn't go back. Ooh. And that's what we want to do in our space, in our power zone. It's just keep expanding it. Okay, we learn a little bit more about ourselves. We expand it a little more. And before we know it, we've reached a bigger circumference. And we can't go back. Even if we wanted to, we can't go back.
Yeah. I love that for, I see the importance of introverts, but in general too, because when you, especially in business or doing anything new, you're right. We're told jump right out of the comfort pool and go forward. And what ends up happening, we're not prepared for failure. We're not prepared for those emotions that come up.
No.
We're not prepared for all that. But what you're saying is, no, we're going to make strides. We're going to move forward. We're going to take steps. But we're going to do it in a way that you're going to have that comfort to keep going when you do reach that, you know, the end of the rubber band, so to speak. I love that so much. Like, that is now ingrained in my head. Thank you. I love that.
You're welcome. And you think about weights, right? I mean, if you think about lifting weights, the same analogy. You don't go to the gym and they say deadlift 100 pounds.
Okay? Right.
But if you say, get out of your comfort zone, that means go in there and deadlift 100 pounds and then call your chiropractor, your therapist, and your doctor, because you're going to need all of those people because you're going to be jacked up, right?
And you ain't going back in there.
And you are not. And that is so good you said that, because you're so right. You're not going back in there. And now, and why I think it's so important with introverts in this space is because we're all already thinking it through. We're already reflective. We're already aware. Now we go in and try to pick up that 100-pound deadlift, and we're like, No, deadlifting ain't for me. Going to the gym ain't for me. Being an entrepreneur, not for me. I don't think any of this is for me. I'm just going to stay here.
Oh my God, I love that so much. I love that so much on so many different levels. When you are, well, we got a comment that I want. Let's just go into this. First, Ada sent some stars. I don't know what that is, but it's the first time that's been done. So thank you.
Thank you for the stars. I know. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate. I'm gonna get off here and find some research and figure it out. But thank you. Appreciate that, girl. Jody says, "I'm a total extrovert trying to deal with an introvert 19-year-old. It's such a weird place." So I love that. If we could transition then into first, how do even us as adults? Many of us are in business. Most of us, if we're not, we're working. We are in community with other introverts. You know, if we're extroverts, I think it's important for us extroverts especially to understand, like, how do we go about treating our introvert friends, spouses, and then we can get into kids.
Okay. The best thing is to let them know that they matter and accept the times. I have so many extrovert friends. Like, I attract them. One of my best friends, and self-coaches me, besties. And one, let us know that we matter, right? That you see us. Even if we're not speaking, you see us, okay? And then allow it to be a safe place that, okay, I know you need to have some time away about how much time do you need. And I'm going to give you that space, okay? But then when you come back, let's go and do what we need to do. Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest one that I see is don't expect them to respond quickly all the time. But when you give them space, they will give you brilliant information.
Ooh. Yeah. I'm thinking of, as you're talking, how, like, when I'm, of course, as you're talking, I'm labeling everybody. She's an introvert. That's what extrovert. I'm labeling everybody. I'm reading the comments. I'm like, Jody, okay, yep, I can see how she's an extrovert. Alicia, I don't know. Alicia, let us know where you are. Like, people are commenting, so I'm labeling. And that's not right, but I am. So y'all let me know if I'm right or wrong. But I think of my husband and how I made it mean something about me, and then that further sent him into retreat for a long while. Like, it was like the more I pushed, the more he kind of pulled, and I could see that with my possibly introverted children. So I love that, like giving them space, and then you matter, because I think us extroverts, we come in and we already assume that everybody knows we matter, you know? And then I think for me, I assume that other people know they matter too,
right?
But my energy may be off-putting, or it may, right, you know, may not resemble that. So I love that. When we're thinking of us handling our children who may be introverts, it's all about like using our words to say, hey, you know, you matter, are you good? And kind of like sending the message, I'm here when you're ready to interact.
And, you know, I wish I could say that I did things all correctly when my children were younger, right? But as a mom, I was on the journey of really owning my own power. So in some things I didn't necessarily catch until now when I look back and I'm thinking, okay, I understand why you did that. Perfect example is my son is he'll be 28 in a couple of weeks. He is almost a mini me, down to the point that he is an introvert that extroverts very well, like almost identical to me. And I knew, and that's how he fooled me, is because
right,
he extroverts so well. So I would always be putting him in these environments that involve people because I thought, wow, he really likes people. Let me see how that encourages him. But over the years, I realized that he extroverted very well, but he kept his inner circle very small. And that was probably the biggest clue, was that, yes, a lot of people knew who he was, but his circle was really small. And so I started paying attention to that.
Yeah. And so when you talk about first, I want to share space and be in agreement. I think all of us watching this, especially if we have older kids, we can look back and go, Riley, probably right for days. All the things we're like, I wish I knew that. Mm. You know, so you're definitely not alone. And I think that's why we need to have these conversations to normalize that there is no manual. And if there was, every child is different, you know? And I think we go into a different space as our kids get older. My son going into an adulthood next month, technically. And the more I see that I have an almost 18-year-old, the more I'm like, who labeled 18-year-olds adults, but whatever. And I experience that. He's like the same. It's like, so you're an adult now? Yeah, right. You know, like it's very interesting. So when you are thinking of what advice could you give parents who are introverts, who have extroverted kids that, you know, want to run around, do all the things, want to like constantly be with them. Like, how do you think that, especially when we talk about teenhood, actually, because I think that with little ones, you play, you know, you get them other friends and then they don't even care about you, you know, but as teens, they want to talk, they want to converse, they want to hang out, and then they have real conversations. And if you're an introvert, you're trying to retreat or kind of like spent out from work or what have you, how do you suggest or how do you coach your clients then on how to like handle that?
Well, that gets back to understanding what is important and what the priorities are. And our things that we do, whether it's being an entrepreneur, whether it's being in the corporate space, they would like to take all of us, but it's up to us to stand in the point of like, okay, you get 60% of me, but the other piece I'm reserving for the space for my children. Mm-hmm. And just and making time and energy for them. The other one is I can be involved in what they're involved in and letting them have the center of attention.
Oh, yeah.
And I am present. I'm 100% present, but it's not about me. It's about spending, like a lot of times, giving an extrovert mental energy, like they see it and they know it and they pick up on it. And just being present with them will go a long way.
Yes, that's a perfect balance of like giving them what they need, that connection, and then also giving yourself, because you're kind of, so to speak, in the background and they're doing what they like to do. And like, oh, well, mom's there, you know, or dad's there interacting.
So and they I know you. I think the children figure us out before we figure them out, honestly. I really do.
Absolutely.
I can remember, and I didn't label it introvert or extrovert or anything at that point, but they knew after church, mom was going to take a nap. Recharge. Don't be bleeding. Don't be fighting. Don't be asking for anything. The answer is no. As a matter of fact, you might want to go recharge too.
I love that because, man, that reminds me of my mom. She would cook or whatever, and it was like, oh yeah, don't go in here and bother her. You want to go outside, you want this or that, you need to ask before she goes in that room, or you need to wait until after.
Right,
in that order.
right exactly. Yes. So you get it. So yes. They learn, you know, they're watching us even before we recognize that they're watching us. And so we don't have to put as much attention on getting it right or doing anything any special way. As long as we're aware of who we are and we're consistent, they are able to adapt. And then when we do the extra being present, being involved with them, like they get it. They see it.
Yeah. What's coming up for me is boundaries and really honoring those for both people.
And, you know, they don't have a book that says what to expect when they're an adult, right? They only, oh my, okay, hold on. I think I lost you.
I see you.
Okay. They don't have a book, and I was thinking about this before our call today, is they don't have a book that says what to expect when they're adulting like they do when we're expecting. Because I don't know if I would have signed up for all this stuff that we I'm just going to tell you, I signed up. Okay, but we're here. They're gifts. And so we receive those gifts. And so that's part of that journey of us being aware of who we are and helping them to discover who they are. And it is difficult when you're in the moment from toddlers up, because we're in it. We're not on the sidelines watching. We're in the movie. We're in the game. We're in the play. And you can't always see all the things.
Yeah. And I think for me, the hardest part about transitioning from a child to an adult, or, you know, even we've been treating, when you talk about like an adult, like having their own, doing what they want and things like that, for the most part, our 17-year-old's already there. My mind is like, I don't want you to wait till you get out there to do all the things. You can do all the things here. And that's kind of like, get that practice in, those reps, and, you know, trial and error at the house. But it then turns into honoring that they know themselves and trusting that they know themselves, and you don't have all the right answers. So, because I had to hold myself back. And honestly, my husband, I think, is a little worse than I am of inserting because we know better. Or, you know, lecturing because we just want you to get it. And I found, like, for me, and I'm just fresh in the game, so I want to hear your perspective. But as they, like, are becoming adults, it's more, it almost is like a push and pull situation, where the more I'm like, this should be what you should be doing, or this is, the more he's like, well, no, I'm actually going to go over there since you said I should be doing this. And maybe that's mine. I think he's an extra, I don't know. I think Mario's an extrovert. So maybe that's different for extrovert versus introvert kids. I don't know. What's your experience in that?
Well, there's the introvert, extrovert tendencies, and there is the parenting children, parenting adult tendencies. There is the journey. As a mom, I really want to help my children not make mistakes that I made. Mm-hmm. Like I to make mistakes. If I know better, I'd want to help them, try to help them avoid some of those pitfalls. Yeah. And the funny story, though, real quick, I'll tell you. I can't remember. I made a bad decision relative to my daughter. In one case, my daughter is almost 30. And my response, I apologize. And that's the other thing you have to be willing to do in the relationship as they move from middle school into high school, is not all the time, because mom is mom, okay? Mm-hmm. And there's that rule. But also, when we mess up, being willing to say, you know, and I did this, I say, you know what? I haven't ever had a 14-year-old before. I did not handle that appropriately. And I'm sorry. I wish I had known. My daughter jumps right up and says, well, why didn't you ask grandma then? I'm like, okay. I'm so done with this conversation and with you now. So done. Literally, that is the conversation. Like, okay, I'm done apologizing now. I'm going to put my mom crown back on.
Right.
But we have to just really being present, being aware of when, think about the butterfly in the cocoon, caterpillar in the cocoon. And if all of the things that my parents had been through, if they said, avoid this, avoid that, avoid this, avoid that, then when adversity came, I would not have the ability to navigate through problems, because I wouldn't know myself. I'd only what my mom had told me. I wouldn't be able to get out of the cocoon because my wings are clipped. Because every time I do something, a little piece of the wing would be damaged. I couldn't even get out. And so I think about that analogy of the caterpillar and the butterfly a lot now, as I navigate them and mentor them going into adulthood, is there are just some things that you're going to have to bump your head, and it's going to hurt.
That might be the hardest part for us as moms to watch that, because with our little ones, we can fix it there in the house, you know, whatever. When you see them out there doing things, you know, the cycle, right? Like, okay, been there, done that, and you don't think I know.
Right. I'm like, hello, I don't, you really don't think I know. And that is hard. That is hard seeing them having to go through their journey and learn when you have given them clear instructions or they've seen you. But it's also part of our journey to grow too. Because once they become adults, we haven't stopped growing.
Oh, yes.
So being willing, that helps me, being willing to grow as they grow.
Yeah.
I love that because you're transitioning as well. They're transitioning to adulthood, and there's a transition that happens to us when we have now adults.
Yes.
And so, man, I love that because I never looked at it from that perspective because, yes, there are living their life, making their mistakes, doing their thing. And then from that and us having to practice constraint, if we want to have a great relationship and we want to, you know, foster that and allow them to, there's growth that has to happen in us in order to do that.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love that. You just opened up a whole thought process for me. I'm going to read the comments.
Okay, good.
Hey, Tianda. So many comments here. Thank you all for joining. If you have questions now.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We're talking about parenting adults and having adult children. So even if you have little ones, if there's something that's coming up or something that you're wondering about, you want to prepare for, throw that in. You're not the only one that has that question. Tianda's here. She says, there's a moment when it hits you that they are grown and have to learn the best way they learn. With a 33 and a 30-year-old, the moment just hit me. Aww. Yeah, so look at you changing lives right on the live. And what else? I'm losing my comments because it's not always great on here. But the great news is I have some questions already prepared from other people that when I posted this, I was like, hey, what's your questions? And there were some really amazing questions that we could talk about with other ones. Join your questions in the chat while I'll ask her these. So one of the things that a mom brought up was, how do you, what are your thoughts on fostering and navigating parenting with an absent or in the midst of having an absent parent, like a dad that's not around, you're doing it by yourself, especially as it relates to them getting older. And I'm sure like many questions like mine, questions have come up and just having to navigate that space of not having the ideal parenting situation.
First of all, I want to honor those who are having to navigate that journey of being the only parent. You know, that is not an easy journey at all. I was fortunate in that I had the mister, right? I had a spouse. And at the same time, I was more of the active parent. And so I took on most of the disciplinary, the rule structuring, and most of those things fell on me. Also for years, he commuted like 2 hours away. And so from where we live. So a lot of that fell on me to do those things. Yeah. And when I was doing them, I just had to do them. You know, I wish I could give you a great answer. Is to just do them. But I would tell you to see if you can find supportive groups to be involved in, find you one or two, depending on, I mean, going back to extrovert versus introvert, finding you maybe groups of introverts if you're an introvert, and extrovert if you're extrovert, right? Finding you some smaller groups that you can not be mom for just a minute. Maybe it's an hour on a Zoom now, right? It's like, okay. And listen, it used to be bad to tell them to go watch TV, okay? If you need that hour, okay, fire me from the parent club. But if you need that hour, you take that hour. You put them in front of what they need to be in front of so that you can take that time to yourself. Now, there'll be some that disagree. Oh, you don't need to. I'm like, look, for my sanity, for your well-being, you need to go over there. I'm going to go over here. We're going to be good in an hour.
Yes. I think taking care of ourselves first. I mean, there's no way when we think of like what we want, we all want to be amazing moms and show up and really be there for our kids, we have to fill our cups first. You know, we have to.
And I didn't learn that early on. Mm-hmm. What I'm sharing with you, I so ran out my cup for years, for years, almost to the point of adrenal fatigue.
Yeah.
That there was almost nothing, and had some medical scares of like, girl, you better get it together, because you're no good to anybody if you aren't here.
What do you think drove that when you were, or what is different about now, where I think we're talking more about it and it's becoming more of the norm from mom, not like that superwoman used to be a cape that you wanted to wear. And none of us are like, you can have that back, let somebody else do it. So what do you think has been like the difference from when you were running yourself to the ground and how you operated and the messages that were sent?
It was expected. For me, it seemed like society expected us to be super mom, right? Do all the things. That was, and now we are defining our own rules. Like, no, you can't expect me to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to create the space. But a lot of that's the thing that I see has shifted.
The permission that we now have.
That we give ourselves.
Yes. Yeah, and what do you think shifted for you when you decided to give yourself that permission? Like, what did it take? What happened? Was there something? Like, what came up?
You know, what came up for me was I had a medical issue that they couldn't figure out what was going on, but I felt like I was going to die. Mm. And it was that point something clicked in my mind that said, if dying hurts this much, I'm going to choose to live. And if I'm going to choose to live, I'm no longer going to live on the sidelines. I'm going to be in the game. Mm-hmm. So whatever being in the game looks like, the ups, the downs, the wacky, the weird, I'm going to be in the game. That was a defining point.
Yes, and everyone take heed to not get there where you have a medical scare before you realize
right. That.
Like, see that as truth. Take it on as truth now, because I definitely know that we create the reality we want. I talk to a lot of moms, like, kids are, it's just a hot mess, and I think it's this attachment to these beliefs that we're still letting go of. That we must be the end all be all. Yeah. That when our child is hurting or they're going through something, we must fix it. And there's really that discomfort that we don't want to feel by just letting it be. Like, knowing they're taking the wrong action now, knowing what it may or may not do later in the future, and being able to sit back and stay in our space and do our thing. I think that's so hard for most moms.
It is.
Tianda says, we watched the women in our family wear the superwoman cape. Absolutely. Yes. So that was what we saw. That was the example that we had. Jody says, I have two children and one 15-year-old, all boys, and I've raised them alone entirely. It's so hard to see them leave when that was my entire life. Yes. Like, I just was talking to someone about this, about our literal existence attachment being mom.
Yeah.
And I was in an interview sometime this year, and she talked about the things that I was doing, and we talked about, like, me having my own space and making sure I had that, and she asked how, and I'm like, I have always, maybe it's because I was pregnant young, and so I've been a mom since way back when I really didn't even know how to put my child first, you know, if that makes sense. Being 15, I'm worried about me.
That makes sense.
And so, right, and I think maybe that inner, since it was that energy from the beginning, it's a lot easier for me than most moms, but I literally identify myself as a human being and a woman separate from my children. Like, momming is something that I do, it's a part of my existence, but it's not who I am. So it makes it so much easier for me, I think, than other women to detach from that, because especially when you're throwing it all in for 18 plus years, and sometimes double that, you know, when you have multiple children. Did you experience that?
Yes, I did. And, you know, when my daughter went away to college, it was okay. Like, I missed her, but I still had one on deck.
Yeah.
And he was all about, I mean, he was, He was all boy, okay? We've had some times. Okay,
and other boy moms can.
Woo! Jesus. But when he left, there was a big hole. And there was a moment where I thought, okay, well, what do I do now? You know, I'm no longer the mom yelling at the football games. What do I do? And it took me, because I'd done some work getting up, you know, inner work getting up to that point, it took me still about 2 months to really stop trying to really mother him. And of course it helped that he ended up going to basic training right after high school. So I got like baptism by fire, right? It's like, well, you can't do nothing because you can't call the base and ask him how's basic training going because he is no longer yours. So right. I did get some help with that. But it definitely was something that I had to deal with. It's like, okay, I'm still a mom. It just looks different.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Yeah, I love that in the transitioning. When I think my oldest was 11 or so, when I really started to question some of my parenting techniques, hitting him and all the things, right? And I remember talking to a friend, a parenting coach or something, but I was just like, what is the point? He's already halfway grown now. Like, I've wasted all this time. I've made all these mistakes. Is no point now. Like, this seems like hard work. I was really going through it and changing my belief system. And I remember hearing that, no, you're his mom for the rest of his life. Like, right now, today, like, even say you made mistakes with him, you have younger children that he's able to see the more healthy way to raise kids. And then he's going to be an adult and be out there and have his own kids. I'm like, oh, okay, so parenting actually doesn't stop when they become of age or they don't need me anymore. It just transitions.
It just transitions. And I look now back at the things that we navigated with my son, and they do come out better on the other side. I mean, there's mm-hmm. definitely some hope, and I do want to leave you, you know, let everybody know there's hope. Just keep pouring in, be consistent,
okay.
Keep working on you, and keep pouring into them. Like, if you keep pouring it in, and it's setting. It doesn't look like it's setting. You think they aren't listening, but it really is. And you'll get glimpses of that, Regina, when they're talking to their friends. You'll see that they're mentoring their friends with things that you told them.
Ah, wow, yes. A funny example I have of that, this happened a year or so ago. We were driving, and I don't know how it came up. We were talking about Oreos, and my son were talking about how my mom, like, she's always kept the snacks on deck. Like, all the things, you go in her pantry, anything you want is there. And that's how I grew up. And I now don't do that because of my emotional attachment to food. And also, like, I'm just like, if I can keep it at the house, we could be a little healthier. And I remember him telling me, you never have any of this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And I explained why. And I said, well, do you think that's a bad thing? Like, I was starting to think, wait, I need to probably have Oreos in the house because this might be detriment for his growth. Like, in my mind, I was making it mean that. And he's like, oh, no, I know that if I want Oreos, you know, we get them every now and again, and that's actually better for my health because X, Y, Z. And I could take a breath, and I'm like, okay, I'm doing something correctly here.
Yes.
You know? So
yes.
I love that you said that. Tianda says, saying to myself that one day I won't be here, so I have to make sure prepared them for when I wasn't around, so my kids learned hard lessons early. Yeah, I love that. That's so true. Allowing them that balance. I'm sure you would agree with that.
Yes.
Another question that came up was, oh, you already kind of talked about that. I heard this several times in people I've talked to, is balancing being present in the adulting. And for you, it's like really just holding that space for them and allowing them to be them, allowing them to make their mistakes. And another was about trusting the process, which you just hit on, just kind of like keep showing up, being consistent. It reminds me, let me know what you think, of when you're parenting or in the space with toddlers and little ones, because in the moment something crazy happens, they're all disarray. It's all a mess. And us parents, we hold the space and we basically co-regulate them. And so what I thought about when you said that was how they're adults or getting into that and they're doing their own thing. And we know the mistakes are coming, but we're grounded and we're holding the space. And we're, what just came up for me is really like expecting this, because none of us went into adulthood without making mistakes. Like the more we see it as part of the process, I think the more that we can accept that there's nothing wrong that's happened. Right. What are your thoughts about that?
I agree with that 100%, that things are going to happen, situations. Some are going to be harder than others, but being able to hold the space in a way that you identify with it, but you know, you want to make sure that you're not also not enabling when it gets into some of the other things that can happen. Those are hard discussions. Those are hard things, but they're not impossible things to work through. And so just like you said, holding the space for them to be, I want with my children to know that they can talk to me about whatever it is. And their decision may not be the way I would have handled it, but to know that they still have a safe place as their mom. Now don't come, you still got to come correct. Right. Don't be talking crazy. You still need to do the things you need to do. You know, you still need to manage that, but know that I am going to stand for you.
Mm. Yes. I love that when you brought the word enabling, and I think that many people may have questions about that. Can you give an example or kind of go a little bit into detail? Because I think that might be, if we can get a shift there, then I think all the other things may fall into place about holding the space, but also allowing them to have their life and the pros and cons of, you know, not doing that or whatever.
Yeah, I definitely can. And thank you for allowing me to share. You know, it would have been a point that I would have felt like this is the right space to be able to share this. Mm-hmm. You know, my daughter, beautiful, beautiful person, has struggled with addiction, right? Mm-hmm. Struggle with alcohol. And walking with her on that journey was something that I never anticipated that I would be in. And I had to get to that place of not being an enabler, but calling things out and letting some things go. Mm-hmm. But holding the space energetically for her as she walked through that journey. And through that, and always still being mom, right? You know, one example, she, let me give you the end of the story. She's over a year sober, 100% sober. So, whoop, whoop.
Yes.
So I'll give you the end of the story, right? I'm just going, because that is a very happy, happy moment. Yes. But I needed to be able to understand how to mother her through that experience, without doing the feel sorry or the woo woo woo, but it's like, no, how are we going to walk through this? And that's really where some of my coaching skills came in, because I said, okay, what are we going to do day one? Okay, five things. Oh, you're going to get up out of the bed today. Okay, that's one. You're going to open the window. Okay, that's two. And you're going to celebrate yourself. Okay, that's three. So being able to be in that space where, you know, owning what you're going through, not enabling it, not burying it about it, but then celebrating the other side. And that's just been my journey in walking through that, because I'm grateful that she has been able to walk through that. And I have grown as a parent, being able to, you know, I'm like, to me, she's one of the absolute strongest people. Like, I admire my daughter. She's one of the strongest people that I know. Because to be able to one day at a time say no when all of society is saying, well, you want to drink? You want to drink? You want to drink? And for her to say, no, I'm so, you know? So for me, that takes such strength. And so I celebrate her and her journey, and I get to be her mom. That's the way I look at it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you for sharing that, and congratulations to your daughter. I know how hard it is, because we think of alcohol and drugs, but there's so many different ways
experience addiction. Oh my gosh, Regina, let me tell you, you know, being a coach yourself, you know, if you want to coach somebody, you get in the middle of something and then you get some answers, right?
Yeah.
And so when she first started on her journey, I was like, I really can't identify with this. I like need something. Well, that's when I got a download that says, okay, you need something. I'm going to give you something. Stop using your credit card.
Ooh. Yeah.
Do I need to say anything else?
Nope. You said exactly what I'm saying. For me, it's when you're sad, when you're upset, don't pick up the ice cream. That's an addiction.
That's an addiction. That is
scrolling
an addiction.
On our phone.
That's an addiction. Yes. Some people have different levels. And I was so thankful that I got that download that said that. I'm like, I can agree with this. Babe, I don't have that one. And so then, you know, then we're able to celebrate each other on our journey. I'm sharing my day one. She's sharing her day one, right? I'm sharing my day two. I'm sharing my struggle. I'm like, ooh, Amazon has Black Friday. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And you know, shit, yeah, we're going to this party, you know, so we're able to share. And again, you know, this whole journey of parenting, it just has evolved into this different place that wasn't in the book we bought, What to Expect When You're Expecting. But I wouldn't trade anything for the journey. I really wouldn't.
Yeah, so much you said. I just want to point out that because you were genuinely curious, you were aware, and you were holding the space, you were able to go within and get something for you to help along that journey, versus many of us, when we're worried about what other people may think, when we're worried about what's going to happen, when we allow those thoughts, they come, but when we allow those to drive the bus, then it's get in to fix it, and this and this. And so what you allowed her to do, you were able to grasp onto empathy and really compassion and like walk the walk with her. So now, and I think that's why a lot of people we see when we like the shows, when we throw the kids in the rehab for that example or whatever, we take the things, we remove the ability for them to, an opportunity for them to walk on the journey, because we can talk another whole episode about what she learned on her journey, and you allowed her that space. You walked with her on her own journey.
Yeah.
And what she learned from that, there's going to be something else that comes up for her. She'll be able to take those tools with her to then navigate that, versus, well, mom made me, or mom, you know, I just did what mom said. It's
right.
Like, no, I made my own choices. So it's so beautiful that you shared that. I know that so many people are going to definitely feel that. Thank you so much.
Let's see.
Tiana said, someone write a book called How to Handle What You Got Parenting. What you got? Parenting your young adult children. Listen, I was already thinking, you like, they haven't wrote a book. I'm like, well, you know, you can write a book. You can be the one. Thank you so much for this conversation. Y'all, when y'all watching the replay, please put replay, ask your questions.
Yes.
Please tell us about the Introvert Club. Tell us how we can find you, how we can connect with you, and really how we can support you on your journey as you go out and help all the introverts of the world, and obviously the people like us with adult children.
So the way you can find, I'm on Facebook, and so Stephanie Y. Oden, you can go and find me on Facebook, and the Introvert Success Club, if you look up the Introvert Success Club, and I'll come back later, Regina, and I'll drop the link thingy in the comments for the club. So if you're interested in being a part of the club, okay, awesome. You can join, and extroverts are welcome too. I saw somebody put in the comments that they had, they're an extrovert with introvert tendencies. Yes, that is a real thing. There are extroverted introverts. I mean, there are introverted extroverts. So they do have extroverted, and that might be a little bit of what you are, is like, you have some introvert tendencies also, but you're extrovert. So you can find me there. If you have questions, you can also send me a DM and ask me. You can ask them here and I'll answer them. If it's something that's really private, you can message Messenger, because it's a journey. Like, I finished the journey yet. And so I just want to bring because, our kids need us to be all on one accord so we can do it together.
I love that. And I just want to say, like, thank you so much for, oftentimes I talk to moms that we're in it, like the little, you know, the little ones and we're transitioning. So it's so good to hear from someone who is on the other side, your kids or adults, and sharing that story, because I think we often define our a success or ability of motherhood according to what our children are doing,
yeah,
according to how they succeeded. And I couldn't disagree with that more. And I think that you just showed the epitome. Like, if you have any questions about how to parent adult children, you just gave us a perfect example, holding the space, being there for them, holding them accountable, using your skills to help them, but not doing it for them. So I love that. Thank you. That blessed me. Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in. This was amazing.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Stephanie.
Thank you, Regina. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I know we could talk for hours, literally. I mean, we could dig deeper on some of these. And I just thank you everybody that's joined, and those that are gonna watch on the replay. We appreciate you, and we see you, and just keep doing amazing things, because it does matter.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks everyone for joining the conversation. This will be on the podcast here shortly in the next few weeks or so, but if you're watching the replay, go ahead, reach out to Stephanie. If you're loving anything she's talking about, she's talked about and shared so much with us, friend request her, join her group. I put it in the comments. You got everything tagged there. Stephanie, later, if you go back, you want to tag anything else, do that, because we need to know you. We need to be in the same spaces with you. And thank you so much. Have a beautiful day.
All right.
Hey, girl, thanks for tuning in. If you love this and you want to take this work deeper, definitely reach out to me and let's schedule your free 1-hour consult. We will dive deep into everything you have going on, where you are, where you want to be, and clearly how I can help you get there. Super simple, no obligation, only space for deep transformation. I would love to hear from you. I'll leave my email in the show notes and also links where you can connect with me on social. Be blessed, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.